KPBS On Demand is supported by La Jolla Playhouse, presenting The Family Album, a new musical featuring original power pop songs. Mia, a young musician on the verge of success, returns to the home she once left behind. Performances begin July 17th. Tickets at LaJollaPlayhouse.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, July 2nd. A group of descendants of early San Diego are looking to preserve their history. More on that next, but first, the headlines. California's gas tax increased by 2.2 cents as of yesterday. That brings it to a little more than 63 cents per gallon. The tax funds state transportation projects as well as highway maintenance and repairs. Under a state law passed in 2017, the tax is adjusted each year based on inflation. Despite county gas prices seeing a decline 40 times in 41 days, California gas prices are still some of the highest in the country. SDSU is officially a member of the Pac-12 Conference. The Aztecs joined the Pac-12 alongside other fellow newcomers, Boise State, Fresno State, Colorado State, Texas and Utah State, and Gonzaga. The conference now meets the NCAA's football bowl subdivision requirements. That means the Aztecs now officially exit the Mountain West Conference, where for 5 years in a row, they won at least 5 conference titles. SDSU President Adela De La Torre says moving to the Pac-12 helps, quote, open the door to exciting partnerships and financial growth, all of which contributes to the vitality of our university community. Shark Summer is officially back and runs until August 2nd. Birch Aquarium says it's a celebration of the important ecological role that various species of rays, skates, and sharks play worldwide. Shark Summer visitors can experience Sharks and Rays 101 talks, shark feedings and exploration stations, themed diving presentations, and more. On July 9th, Birch Aquarium also hosts their 21 and older Oceans at Night's Sharks event. The After Hours event is set to feature interactive games, live entertainment, and presentations from shark experts. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary because, believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head-on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfire safety.
The descendants of early San Diego can trace their family lineage to the first Spanish settlers. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta says the group is working to preserve that history.
In the Howard J. Ballard Parent Center in Old Town, members of the descendants of early San Diego gathered on Saturday to honor their shared past.
So we're part of the founding families of California, and our organization has been around for 44 years now. And it's been focused on history preservation and education and keeping a lot of our heritage alive.
The group's chair, Connie Rusko and Gunther, said the families there can trace their lineage back to the first Spanish settlers who came to San Diego. Poster boards with long family trees showed how living descendants were connected through generations to their ancestral roots. Daniel Rios from the Kumeyaay Nation was there representing the first San Diegans who were here when the Spanish arrived.
We've seen every single change in San Diego, from the Spanish to the Mexicans period to the American period, and we're still here today, we're thriving.
Rascon Gunther said it's that shared history of resilience that has evolved through different nations and governments that brings them all together. And as they share their stories with each other, they feel they can keep that history alive.
We're learning to be cordials to each other, to preserve our stories, the good and the bad, and continue to tell our stories so that we can learn from our mistakes and continue to build our country as a country that we want to have freedom in.
Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
California civil rights leaders are expressing relief and gratitude after the Supreme Court on Tuesday ruled that all children born on U.S. soil are U.S. citizens, regardless of their parents' immigration status. From KQED's immigration desk, Tyke Hendricks reports.
The court threw out an executive order from President Donald Trump that had tried to limit birthright citizenship. Winnie Gao with the Asian Law Caucus in San Francisco helped lead the case challenging Trump. She says she's proud to carry on the legacy of the man who won the first case on this issue in 1898.
Wong Kim Ark, the Chinese American who brought the seminal Supreme Court case on birthright citizenship, was born just blocks from our Chinatown office.
But she says it's sobering that three conservative justices dissented from this week's ruling, even though it's been established law for well over a century.
Birthright citizenship is foundational to American democracy.
That's California Attorney General Rob Bonta, who also sued to block Trump's order. He says the ruling is a big deal for California, not only because of Wong Kim Ark, but because the state is stronger thanks to its many immigrants and their children. And he says birthright citizenship is in the language of the Constitution.
It's a guarantee that every child who's born here has a personal stake in the American dream, that they're part of our circle, our political community, our American project.
He says the court's ruling affirms that. I'm Tyke Hendricks.
Sharp Healthcare and Tri-City Medical Center held a celebration yesterday to cement their partnership. North County reporter Alexander Wen says people are excited over labor and delivery returning.
When Tri-City closed its labor and delivery unit 3 years ago because of financial struggles, officials said they were looking at ways to reopen it. That appears to have finally happened.
I couldn't be more excited about the partnership.
Oceanside Council member Jimmy Figueroa represents the area.
As someone that was born here at Tri-City Hospital back in the 80s, to have delivery back in our community, not just delivery, but the Sharp Mary Birch brand, to have it here locally in our region, it's just super exciting for all our entire community.
Because Tri-City is a public healthcare district, it needed voters' approval to partner with Sharp, a private healthcare system. The measure passed last month with more than 92% of the vote. Through the partnership, Sharp will invest more than $100 million into the hospital. Labor and delivery is expected to reopen later this year. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
California's new budget includes an overhaul on how the state governs its schools. Supporters say it will help streamline the system, but education reporter Katie Anastas says opponents argue it takes away a voice for voters.
One of the offices on the November ballot is California's Superintendent of Public Instruction. The official leads the state's education department and makes sure policies passed by lawmakers are implemented. Next year, that will change. A commissioner appointed by the governor will lead the department. The superintendent will sit on its board. Supporters of the decision say accountability for education will no longer be split between two elected leaders. The two candidates running for state superintendent oppose it. One of them is San Diego Unified Board President Richard Barrera.
We just had nearly 8 million people vote on who they wanted to run our schools in California in the state superintendent election. This takes that power away from the voters and consolidates power under an appointed person who basically reports to the governor.
His opponent, Sonia Shaw, is president of the Chino Valley Unified School Board. In a statement, she says the move, quote, removes critical checks and balances and tells parents their votes no longer matter, end quote. The appointed education commissioner will begin in the role on January 15th. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The former news director of KPBS has filed a whistleblower lawsuit against the station and the San Diego State University Research Foundation. Reporter Andrew Dyer has more.
Terrence Shepard says in the suit his termination earlier this year was in retaliation for flagging a potential FCC violation to senior management. The suit references a September episode of KPBS's daily TV news show, Evening Edition. It featured a live segment from a protest at the Encinitas City Hall. Behind the reporter was a sign with the F word written on it. FCC regulations say broadcasters can't air indecent content or certain profanity. Shepard says in the lawsuit filed in May, he recommended that the reporter be fired, but his supervisor told him he was, quote, grossly overreacting. Shepard claims in his lawsuit that this incident resulted in his termination in February. He says his firing violated California's whistleblower protection law. Two KPBS staffers mentioned in the suit declined to comment, citing the litigation. Shepard referred questions to his attorney, who did not respond. A KPBS spokesperson also declined to comment, citing the pending lawsuit. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
KPBS News maintains strict editorial independence from management, SDSU, and the SDSU Research Foundation. Under KPBS's protocol for reporting on itself, no corporate official or news executive reviewed this story before it aired. This Saturday marks America's 250th birthday, and San Diego is planning to celebrate. Web producer Brendan Tucciannardi put together a list of events happening over the holiday weekend. I spoke to him about the upcoming festivities. Talk to us about some of your favorite ways to celebrate the 4th of July here in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, I like being with friends and family, preferably at some type of body of water, whether it's the beach or a pool. I'm going to Mission Bay, so wish me luck. And then after that, I'll be heading to a friend's place near the airport to watch the fireworks.
All right, all right. Now, I know you did a bunch of research. Was there anything that initially stood out to you when putting together this list of events, Brendan?
Yeah, I really enjoyed kind of diving into how all the communities and neighborhoods around San Diego celebrate 4th of July. It's cool to see how community-oriented a lot of the events are. I mean, that's not surprising at all. It's heartwarming to see how people come together to celebrate in such big ways.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Talk to us specifically about which community and which community event you're talking about, Brendan.
Yeah, so like in Imperial Beach, I thought it was cool how they launched their fireworks off the end of the pier. And then in Oceanside, they're doing a combination drone and fireworks show a day earlier on July 3rd. And they do this because it coincides with the anniversary of the founding of the city. And then in Ramona, they're having their fireworks show at the rodeo grounds. And there's going to be a cornhole tournament, which sounds really fun.
Okay, I like it. I kind of like the combo of like drones and fireworks in Oceanside. The day before, too, you get away from the traffic,
yeah.
Maybe. There'll be traffic regardless, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. How is San Diego, the city, honoring America on its 250th anniversary, Brendan?
Yeah, so in San Diego, they do the Big Bay Boom, which the Port of San Diego says is the largest 4th of July fireworks show on the West Coast. The show starts at 9:15, and the best viewing is at Shelter Island, Harbor Island, North Embarcadero, and the Coronado Ferry Landing. I recommend getting there early and bringing a lawn chair or a blanket and your patience. Traffic out of downtown after the fireworks is always brutal.
What are some of the events you recommend for our parents?
I mean, yeah, there are a ton of options. Almost all the events that I include in my story have kids' fun zones with crafts or games. Some even had free face painting. But specifically, some that I think I should highlight, National City has a 4th of July carnival that runs from now until Sunday. Admission is free, and there are going to be rides, food vendors, games, face painting, like I mentioned, and a lot more. That's at Kimball Park. And then Legoland and SeaWorld are also going to be decked out for the 4th of July. Both amusement parks will have fireworks after dark. And kind of a sleeper option is Old Town San Diego State Park is doing an old-fashioned 4th. And here you can experience Independence Day as an early San Diegan would have in the 1800s. So there's going to be weaving, spinning, and blacksmith demonstrations, sack races, a watermelon eating contest, and a lot more. And that's all free and goes from 11 to 3 p.m.
Outside of the typical boom bap fireworks celebration, outside of the explosions in the sky that we expect, give me some unique events that people can attend.
I think the most unique event that I came across is in Julian. They do a parade. There's going to be a giant American flag that you can join in and walk down Main Street. But they're also doing a apple pie eating contest. It's such a Julian take on the traditional hot dog eating competition. And then also, if you're a fan of classical music, the San Diego Symphony is playing patriotic songs at the Rady Shell. Tickets are sold out, but you can always listen from the public promenade. But a little heads up about that, chairs, coolers, and other items are not allowed, and bench seating is limited.
For anyone maybe planning something a little last minute for some of our people pushing it to the back end, are there any free activities or special promotions that they can take advantage of? Someone listening to it right now that's like, I got to do something tonight.
Yeah, there's going to be a free all-ages rave on Fiesta Island with 32 artists across four stages and four genres, like house, techno, bass, and reggaeton. All national parks will be free. Here in San Diego, that means you can go to Cabrillo National Monument, or if you want to drive a little further, Joshua Tree National Park. And then also, the Navy SEAL Museum downtown is having a free celebration with food, giveaways, family events, a scavenger hunt, artifact displays, and then you can also hear stories from Navy SEAL veterans.
Thank you, Brendan.
Thanks, Lawrence.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.